Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live, broadcast from Forkfest 2021. Sorry, not broadcast from, recorded from, and then you hear it later, but we're not actually broadcasting from here. At Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. There's still time. There will still be other people here, even if I don't stay. So stick around for, you'll come up here and stick around for July the 4th and the fireworks and all of that awesome stuff. With you in the studio tonight, it's Aria.
Peakless Mountaineer.
And we're joined by Jeffrey Tucker, and we just got into...
Always my pleasure. Yeah.
I'm sorry?
No, it was my pleasure to be here.
Great. We're happy to have you.
Thrilled to have you here. We were just discussing during the break about, you know, the consequences or the side effects of getting the COVID-19 vaccine.
Right.
And working in the general public as I did prior to the last week or so, I know a lot of people who got the vaccine, and every single one of them was sick for multiple days.
I know.
Right. So here's what's weird, right? It's like, help me understand this. Something or other, the news reporter for the New York Times. Do you know who she is? Anyway, she's a very nice lady, but she's a virus reporter for the New York Times. So she's panicked about COVID for like a year.
Sure.
And then she got the vaccine, and she tweeted out that it was the most wonderful fever she'd ever had.
The most wonderful fever.
She said, I'm so happy to have this fever and to have
They're
that
the most
habit.
Wonderful symptoms of
Well, I mean,
all.
Of course. It removed her fear, right?
Well, and I mean, you wouldn't want to be asymptomatic, would you?
But a year earlier, if you had said something like, well, if you get COVID, you're not going to be able to taste your coffee for a couple of days, and that's bad. I mean, it's better to be able to taste coffee, but you can't.
But
I mean,
that was the better only, tasting coffee.
That was the only negative part of it for me. I mean,
Of course. For most people, that's it. It's like a little bit of a downside.
But I guess
we can speak frankly on this.
Oh, yes. That is exactly what we do.
Okay. So I just like I never bought into this. Okay. I'll admit to you that there was like 2 days in which I, no, 2 hours in which I was slightly was afraid. I was like, wait, is this a bubonic plague? And I was like, no. But from January 2020, I've been trying to get COVID.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
It's surprisingly hard to get. I mean, I was more social throughout the last year than I've ever been at any part of my life.
So from January 2020, I was like, oh, my God, there's a virus. I need to get to New York. And so I hung out in all the bars, and I was, like, hanging out in crowds. I was like, breathe on me, kiss on me, spit on me, please. You know, kiss me.
I need
your
droplets.
Like, yeah, just touch my hands. I hope they're not washed. You're like, I was definitely
just walking door to door, licking doorknobs, you know.
Yeah, and I faced something, you know, it's funny, a year later, everybody's, you know, trying to figure out what happened, and I faced a little bit of a, what you call like a tribunal, and I faced a bit of a prosecutor, and she said to me, is it true that you said you've been trying to get COVID since January 2020? I was like, yeah, I've actually said that, because that's actually the case. Because I understand the immune system, right? I wanted it sooner rather than later so I could go on
well,
get on with my life.
Well, I mean, if you're going to get a new virus, you want to get that while you're healthy.
Sure.
Whereas
of course.
If it gets you while you're not healthy, then it might be a real problem.
So let's talk about this, actually. Because we know that the ethos surrounding the virus is run and hide from it, right?
Right. Mm.
But like, why would you do that? Like, why not just
it's
get
the
it?
Opposite of how humans have always dealt with diseases, right?
So,
like with chicken pox and things like that.
Well,
just
right.
Get it.
Get it, and then move on with life. Like, why are we going to hide from this forever? Also, we know that viruses are, you know, a ubiquitous presence in the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they have to achieve endemicity. You know, they have to become endemic rather than pandemic. So they have to become regular. So somebody has to get them. And somebody has to recover. Somebody has to contribute to herd immunity. And so who was it? Who was it that the ruling class assigned to get the virus for us? Who is going to be our sandbags? I'll tell you who. And you can find out by typing in your zip code into the New York Times coronavirus page anytime in the last year. And they're like, well, my zip code is 01230. Well, you should stay home and have your groceries delivered.
Because they were scared of getting... Because those were places that
well,
had high concentrations of
the question
of
I had was, oh, really? I should stay home and have my groceries delivered by whom?
Oh, by the essential
by
workers.
By whom?
The disposable workers.
The disposable workers. The people who do not read the New York Times. I mean, literally, they were speaking... To the ruling class, not to the workers and peasants. So it was a complete class structure, right?
Mm.
It's like, we're your overlords. Oh, the virus is loose where you are.
Oh, were you a bag boy? Please, keep working. Stay in front of people.
Yeah, just bring me my groceries. And that's the system, right? It's like, give the disease to the underlings, to the lessons.
It was very manipulative to refer to those people as essential workers when really it was just disposable workers. You're not essential, you're disposable.
There are
50 people who can replace
you. They wanted them, I'm sorry to say, but they wanted them to get the disease for them, to contribute to herd immunity, and so that they would take on the burden of creating the endemicity. That is always the story of every new virus. I'm sorry to say this, but this is the story.
Yeah.
It's a class struggle. I'm like, I don't want to sound like Karl Marx here, but basically that was it.
Well, so, I mean, Karl Marx is always focused on the political class, or sorry, on the economic class, and what this... A lot of what this is political class.
I agree with you.
If you are a New York Times reader, there's a certain chance that you know a lobbyist.
That's right.
And if you know a lobbyist, well, then you're in the ruling class.
That's right.
And it's a political class struggle rather than an economic class.
I agree with that, yeah. Just like the ancient world, right? The classes were structured according to access to political influence. So, we went fully ancient world here. Not modern, not democratic, not egalitarian. Not human rights, not universality. It was like who's in charge and who's not.
Yeah.
Who's not gets the virus. We in charge? Don't.
Yeah,
we're clean anyway.
So
you're upper middle class. You're too important. You stay at home and you Zoom and have the disposable people bring you your food all of this other stuff.
I'd like to put on my tinfoil hat for just 30 seconds here.
Yeah,
and point out that the word coronavirus, like corona, is crown. That is what that means.
Uh-huh.
That is Latin for the word crown.
Oh, you're right about
and,
that.
And COVID in Latin would be to view together. So we are making sure that you all see the same thing as we have a virus of the crown.
Well, coronavirus is a class of virus that existed as a term long before.
Oh, no, I'm just talking about
COVID-19.
The marketing.
It is a coronavirus, etymological consideration. Yes, it is.
But I mean, if you're going to be accurate about this, the most accurate like nomenclature that we'd be familiar with is to call it SARS-2.
Well, SARS-2, I think, is the most accurate terminology.
Well, yeah, it's
SARS-CoV-2.
Yes,
right.
SARS-CoV-2, and SARS was SARS-CoV.
Right.
Yeah. SARS-CoV or SARS-CoV. Yeah, was the technical term for SARS, and this is that too. But like in the news, it was just called SARS. So the accurate way of saying this would be SARS-2. But that's not going to freak anybody out.
Right.
Well, I don't think that COVID-19 in and of itself would have freaked anyone out. It was the constant.
I think that's right.
It was the media barrage. Yes.
Yeah.
You couldn't turn on television
very
without
strange.
Seeing these insane commercials.
It was. And do you know that I think that there's a deep kind of primal instinct that humanity has is to fear a pathogen.
Fear the unknown, certainly.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, there's a germ. Oh, my God, is it on your hands?
Yeah.
Is it on you? Should I stand 6 feet away? I probably should.
Mm.
Should I wash my hands constantly? Maybe there's a virus on them. Maybe there's a virus on this microphone. Wait, the virus could be anywhere. It's on that truck. It's on that tree. It's everywhere.
Well, I'm certain there are viruses on all of these things and more.
We're surrounded by pathogens, and that's how we work. That's how we stay healthy. That's the dangerous dance we've engaged in for a million years.
But our immune system has evolved to do that dance.
Well, God bless you for saying that. That's true.
More coming up. Don't go anywhere. We're at Free Talk Live broadcasting from Fort Fest 2021. It's Free Talk Live.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
As life in America looks to return to normal, how can you succeed in the new stock market? With the tech dip, volatility with interest rates, and fear around the yield curve, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text the word money to 813-813 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text money to 813-813 to find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented artificial intelligence can give you a massive edge. Text the word money to 813-813. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance and maximize your gains. Text money to 813-813. Experience Vantage Point for free. Learn how successful traders generate their wealth. Don't wait. Text the word money to 813-813.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's is Free Talk Live from Fort Fest 2021 here at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. There's also the Porcupine Freedom Festival somewhere down there. I still haven't actually made it there. I don't have a choice but to make it there tomorrow because I'm doing a presentation on the Crypto 6, fun enough, at the Crypto 6 Pavilion.
Nice.
So I didn't realize, it didn't click with me until I read the email again because I was trying to find out something that, you know, there was a Crypto 6 Pavilion here at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. And that's really cool. And that's where the Crypto 6 presentation that I'm doing is going to be. It's weird that it was ever going to be anywhere else now that I know there's a Crypto 6 Pavilion. I was going to be in the main pavilion at 10 in the morning. I was like, look, that time, it's not good for me, man. I'm used to going to bed at like 5 a.m. and waking up at like noon.
Right.
Now, my schedule this year has been a bit different because I ended up not sleeping very much. Sunday night after work before I had to leave at 8:30, it was like a total of 3 hours of sleep. So I went to sleep early Monday, and that put me on this weird schedule of waking up at like 8 in the morning. And
oh, my God.
I've been on that all week, and I can't get myself off of it. The only way to do that would be to make myself stay up very, 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 very late. And I don't really want to do that when I know, like, I have to wake up in the morning and do a freaking presentation. So
yeah, I still haven't gotten used to seeing the primary sponsors being ForkFest and the Crypto 6.
Yeah, it's I love the fact that the sponsorship behind the pavilion is ForkFest.
Right?
Yeah, and I love the name of the pavilion being the Crypto 6 Pavilion.
So ForkFest has sponsored the Porcupine Freedom Festival again this year?
That's correct.
That's awesome.
As far as I can tell, they are the biggest sponsor.
Yeah, that's correct, too.
That was correct last year. I tried sponsoring part of the Porcupine Freedom Festival on behalf of the Reformed Satanic Church. They were not amused by that. But, you know, someone pointed out to me yesterday, and this is something I had never, ever even thought about. Satanism is a denomination of Christianity.
Yes.
I have never thought of it that way, but once I heard that, I was like, holy crap, you're right.
Yeah, much like...
And there's no argument against that.
Much like Mormonism is a denomination of Christianity, like it forked off of that, to use our favorite vernacular, and Satanism likewise forked off of the same mythological structure and tradition of Christianity.
Yeah, it's very peculiar. But we want to talk about John McAfee, because he's dead, and that sucks. I imagine the whales out there that he was molesting or whatever people accused him of when he had to point out that, look, a humpback whale is a big creature. If a human manages to have sex with one, you better believe it was consensual.
That is great. I remember him saying that at some point.
There was no part of the John McAfee S show that I didn't love. Even when he was trying to shill scam coins to me, I loved him because I was just, yep, that's John McAfee doing John McAfee.
Yeah.
John McAfee, I mean, he's always been a crazy dude. I've always loved him. But he's a lunatic, and he always has been.
He is.
Probably the bath salts, realistically. But
let that be a lesson to you, kids. Don't do bath salts.
But there is nothing I love more about him than his How to Remove McAfee Antivirus video.
Oh, I finally got around to seeing
that
one.
Funny.
That was
absolutely priceless. And no spoilers. No spoilers. Make the listeners watch it themselves.
If the listeners haven't watched it, I'm not going... It's not spoiling the video when it's 20 years old, right? That's definitely not a spoiler. That's like saying you can spoil the Star Wars trilogy for people.
All right, mute your radio for 2 seconds if you don't want to find out what the spoiler is.
Yeah.
This is your warning.
So it's the biggest FU I've ever seen to a large number of people. I cashed out and I'm down here in South America doing drugs with hookers. This is your problem now. That's what the video is. And it's the most John McAfee thing I think I could ever think of. He's making it clear he cashed out, he's done, and it's your problem now. And it was, because whatever it was that he created, you know, it was co-opted by, I think, Intel eventually. Isn't Intel the people
Intel
who own it now?
Bought McAfee.
Yeah. And then he had to sue them to have the right to use his own name or something like that. The whole thing, I don't know.
Oh, wow.
John McAfee's entire life is a nonstop insanity show. from beginning, presumably from beginning to end. I know there are documentaries about the, out there about him, but one documentary cannot possibly be enough to fully grasp the depth of insanity that is John McAfee.
He reminds me of Hunter S. Thompson in that way.
Where I don't know who that is.
Really? Oh, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas? Nothing?
Never seen it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so it's just...
I don't watch a lot of good movies. I watch things like Sharktopus and and Sharkasaw Women's Prison Massacre and you know, Clownado, things like that.
Okay, one of those titles is made up.
No, all of those are real. All of those are real movies that I have watched.
I see.
Such as Dude Bro Party Massacre 3, also a real movie. There's no 1 and 2, of course.
Are these like 1940s or 50s, like B movies or something?
I mean, they're terrible movies, yes, but they were made like just years ago. Probably my favorite is Bloody Bloody Bible Camp, which is exactly as stupid as you would expect. It's the dumbest one I've seen so far, except for Dude Bro Party Massacre 3. There is also Inhumanwitch, which is about an astronaut who gets sent off to space and who comes back as a manwitch that eats people.
Is that the story of Mark Edge?
Well, he came back as a space king.
Oh. Okay, no, that one left Earth as a manwitch and came back as an intergalactic space king. Right, sorry. Similar story.
So that's the kind of movie I watch when I actually have time to sit down and watch a movie, which hasn't been the case since, funnily enough, March the 16th. We actually had this thing called Bad Movie Club, where me and some of my friends would record us watching a movie, we'd record our comments, and we'd clip the best of it and overlay the movie to it so people knew what we were talking about, and we'd put it online on our YouTube channel called Bad Movie Club. Well, the FBI took all of the equipment that I was using to do that, so Bad Movie Club officially died, but the most recent thing we watched, I think, was Ice Spiders, which was just...
Mars?
No, just Ice Spiders. Oh. it was just not good, not worth watching. We didn't finish that one.
Well,
a lot of these,
they weren't from Mars.
A lot of these we don't actually finish, because we get, like, Inhuman, which was supposed to be 50-something minutes long, it turned out to be an hour and a half long, and 50 minutes of that stupidity was all any of us could take. It was bad.
Yeah, it sounds like a setup for MST3K.
For
Mystery
what?
Science Theater 3000.
I've never seen it.
The basis of the idea is that you have these characters watching terrible movies.
Oh, that's what we did. We watched the worst of the worst.
Well, and just, you know, commenting through it, making their own invented storylines for it, you know. Because it doesn't have a plot, so you've got to make your own.
Sadly, the best of these movies was probably Sharkasaw Women's Prison Massacre, where they actually say the line with a straight face, like serious paid actors, there ain't no sharks in these woods. But in fact, there were sharks.
Wow.
So there's a lot of really, really stupid movies out there. Killer Sofa? Another one.
Killer Sofa.
I would actually recommend Killer Sofa. All right, so except it's not about a sofa, it's about a recliner.
Here's the question. So why are you into these really terrible movies?
I don't know, man.
What is the appeal?
To see how stupid they are? to see what the worst that a human being can do with $700,000.
Hey, I'm concerned about predatory park loungers. We'd never see it coming.
And if you want to know how bad it can be when an individual has $700,000 and no fear of the consequences of whatever horrible thing they make, bad movies are the way to go. More coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
U.S. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
A judge in Minneapolis has sentenced former police officer Derek Chauvin, who was convicted of killing George Floyd, to 22 and a half years in prison.
Like the conviction of Derek Chauvin 2 months ago, today's sentencing is not justice, but it is another moment of real accountability on the road to justice.
Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison. Derek Chauvin's mother, Carolyn, made an impact statement. She told the court her son is not a racist.
None of these things are true, and that my son is a good man.
President Biden has signed a law designating the site of the Pulse nightclub shooting in Orlando, Florida, as a national memorial. He signed the legislation during a White House ceremony flanked by lawmakers, survivors of the shooting, and LGBTQ leaders. This is USA Radio News. The death toll from the collapse of an oceanfront condominium tower near Miami Beach rose to 4, with about 159 people unaccounted for as crews continued to search the debris for survivors. Miami-Dade County Mayor Daniela Levine Cava said about 120 people had been accounted for, but stressed that the numbers remain fluid. Authorities said at least 4 died in the sudden collapse of the 12-story Champlain Towers in Surfside. President Biden approved an emergency declaration that will provide federal aid to the area. The Homeland Security Department and Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA, are authorized to help coordinate disaster relief efforts with local officials. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis issued a state of emergency for Miami-Dade County. Surfside Mayor Charles Burkett said he hopes for more than just fiscal assistance and manpower. Authorities are looking into the cause of the collapse, which sent half of the tower crashing to the ground in just seconds.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live, and what would you call John McAfee? He certainly wasn't a hero. No one should look up to John McAfee as someone to aspire to be. Maybe in his 70s, as he was, you know, banging 22-year-olds and, you know, doing coke off their bodies. Maybe you want to aspire to that, the Hugh Hefner-style life.
John McAfee, I think, was entertaining, but
he was tremendously entertaining.
By no stretch of the imagination, even though he did a lot of things like libertarians support, he's definitely not a libertarian. He was not necessarily, like, a good person, but he was certainly an entertaining person, right?
I don't know of any evidence that he was a bad person. There's the whole argument that, you know, he killed his neighbor in Belize,
so
but
if I
hold
tell
on,
you this is
on.
A good coin and it ain't, then that's not good.
Well, that's just a difference in opinion. But there was a thing where he allegedly killed his neighbor in Belize for poisoning his dog. And I've got to be honest with you, that's one of the most understandable murders I've ever heard about, if indeed that even happened.
Mm.
The dude poisoned John's dog. John poisoned him back. I mean, you get what you give. Not that I'm condoning murder or anything like that, but the governor of Belize was
a... I got to draw a line there. Sorry.
See, I don't value human life.
Humans are special.
I don't agree at all.
No, we absolutely are.
No, we just have egos that tell us we're special.
Effectively. No, humans actually are special. We have this thing called philosophical agency. you can make actual moral choices. Dogs cannot make moral choices.
Because that's a tautology. We invented the concept of morality.
Okay, great. It's a human trait.
There's no such thing as morality. There's just an action and a consequence. It's humans looking at that and saying, this consequence is good and that one is bad. That's not any sort of evidence that humans are special.
Humans have moral judgment.
It's just evidence that humans created an artificial paradigm that we live according to. But there's no such thing out there in existence that humans tap into called morality that makes us special. It's just a concept that we invented.
Just because humans produce it doesn't make it not real.
I didn't say it wasn't real, but it's manufactured and produced by humans, and the ability to manufacture and produce a moral system just means that we have the ability to manufacture and produce a moral system. It doesn't mean we're special.
Yeah, this is the kind of thing where I'm like, let's just minimize the suffering and pain, right? Like you can eat your I don't know, your sausage and all the food that you want, that's meat and stuff, but let's minimize the pain at least that we cause both to animals and ourselves, like each other.
So
right?
That's aesthetics, not morals, though. And I absolutely agree with that aesthetic of reducing suffering and avoiding unnecessary suffering in myself and other living beings. But the fact that I can negotiate with you is different. It is qualitatively different from what I can do.
No, that's just your ego talking.
I mean, that sounds like justification
for the dog's ability to smell much stronger than humans makes it special and unique and wondrous and over all of the other animals.
It sounds very white supremacy.
It's just the ability that humans...
Oh, I'm absolutely a human supremacist. We are the best species ever.
We're
my favorite.
No, that's nonsense. We're the only species actively destroying our own environment.
That is not even remotely true.
Yeah, that's
really
probably not
biology
true.
There.
I mean, animals in general tend to
other
breed.
Other than viruses, we're the only species actively destroying our environment.
Animals will
frequently breed into the plant.
You show me a wolf that cuts down its own trees that it lives in, and I will cede that point to you.
Rabbits do.
Other animals.
Rabbits do not cut down trees.
Other animals will destroy their environment. They will breed until their environment is no longer capable of supporting them.
Yeah, but that's different, and that fixes itself, and the humans are doing the very same thing. I mean, that causes predators
to rise.
I agree,
but to say that humans are the only animal that
destroy
their
own environment, though.
But
that's just overpopulating
now,
until
if you want to talk about cutting down
the other
trees,
side of nature takes care of that.
I mean, it's their actions,
exactly.
Just like it's our actions, you know, whether it's overpopulating or it's something else, it's still...
Well, so here's the thing. Humans are our own predators.
We're also the only species that has ever wiped out 400 million people in a century. 400 million plus. I mean, and if you include non-human
animals,
it's something like 2.5 million animals
a
day.
No, ants totally have a speed on straight numbers.
Yeah, and don't like fish eat. I mean, fish like eat each other. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I am certain that somewhere in the world today, 400 million ants got destroyed by other ants.
Yeah.
I mean, they are literally the majority of the biomass of the planet, so I have no doubt that that's the case.
Okay, so convince me that humans are special, then. Instead of me trying to convince you that humans are not special, the dog can smell my feet from 100 feet away.
Right.
She's
so,
therefore special
so
and
morality,
unique.
So morality has to do with the ability to negotiate with each other. So if we stay within the bounds...
Why does that ability make us special versus any of the other animals and their abilities?
Why does it make it special?
Salmon can swim upstream.
Okay.
Up waterfalls, whatever.
Okay.
They're therefore special, right?
They cannot interact with the system we refer to as morality.
Because we created that system that excludes them.
Okay, great. Awesome.
That doesn't make us... That's like saying we're special because we defined what special is, and we defined it in a way that only includes us.
I'm saying...
That's egotism.
Okay.
So it does sound like
that. I cannot talk my dog into not pooping on the rug.
Yes, you can. My dog is 100% house trained.
Yeah, you can train them. That's not the same thing.
All
now,
I have
you
to
can
say
train
is,
humans
all
as
I
well.
Have to say is, let's go outside, Lee.
Well,
and she goes outside and uses the bathroom.
Okay, great.
I did it this morning.
Yeah, you absolutely can train dogs. You can also train humans.
Yes, but you're saying you can't tell your dog to go out, to not poop in the house, but you literally can, and I literally do it.
You can't, like, form a contract with your dog about, okay, well, I won't poop on the rug anymore, but every 7 weeks you have to give me my favorite treat, and once a year you
That's
need
entirely
to give me
false. I do have a contract with her. Before she is fed, she sits. Every single time. She knows that she doesn't get fed if she doesn't sit. She sits, I feed her. That's a contract.
I mean, is that a valid contract?
That is not a contract.
How is it not? She
Do both parties agree to the contract?
She sits.
Is there an exchange of
she
value?
She sits, doesn't she? And she eats the food. She does work for me.
But she's also
trapped. She can't. She's not free to make another decision. If she doesn't do what you tell her, she starves.
She's 100% free to go outside and hunt a squirrel or whatever. She's free to do that.
So habit pattern and a contract are different things.
Interesting argument.
I don't see how it's not a contract. It's the agreement that she and I have.
Okay. It's a nonverbal contract.
So let me give you a specific example.
Let's focus on this one and explain to me how it's not a contract.
How it's not a contract that that your dog sits and then gets fed.
Yes. How is that not a contract?
Okay, because it's operant conditioning rather than a negotiated agreement.
But it is negotiated. She didn't want to sit.
Well, your dog can't come up and be like, you know, I would like to sit on every seventh time.
So it's the ability to speak that makes humans special? Because parents speak.
Or communicate.
It's part of it.
It's communicating.
Yes, yes.
Probably is better phrase.
So here's one of the big differences in negotiation.
But hold on. Much of the animal kingdom communicates with non-verbally.
Okay.
That's true, too.
Okay, yeah, and so do mutes.
So the ability to communicate.
Mute human beings can communicate non-verbally.
The ability to communicate.
They can also, like, make contracts.
Or peakless, sorry. The ability to communicate cannot, therefore, make humans special because we also find that in non-human animals.
I'm not saying that.
You just pointed to the ability to communicate and negotiate a contract as being what makes humans special.
Negotiation is a part of communication. So all negotiation
is
communication.
Not
all
communication
is negotiation.
It's not negotiation. It's not communication. What is it that makes human beings special?
No, I'm saying it is negotiation.
Well,
negotiation
I'm telling you, we negotiated.
Negotiation is a specified form of communication.
It was a one-sided negotiation, but it was certainly a negotiation.
Okay.
It was a, I will feed you, but you have to do this for me.
It was one-sided negotiation.
And she agreed.
Just like the social contract.
Yeah, this is...
No, not at all, because if she didn't want to sit, she doesn't have to sit. She could go find food elsewhere. But she agrees, and she sits, and therefore she gets fed.
Let me give you an example of a thing that can happen in actual negotiation that cannot happen in what you're describing.
Okay.
So in actual negotiation, I could talk to you about what I... So we have a disagreement about what we should do. And I can talk to you about what I am trying to get out of what I think we should do. And then you can talk to me about what you are trying to get out of what we should do. And we can come up with a new creative idea whereby both of our desires are satisfied, even though we don't end up doing either of our original plans.
Okay, let me tell you a story about me and the dog here. She hates being taken on a leash for a walk. She absolutely hates it, resists it every step away, plants herself there. She makes it clear she's not going on a walk. So what do? I reason with her. I negotiate. Okay, you don't want to go for a walk on a leash. Are we in a safe place where I can just let you off your leash? If not, I will pick you up and carry you. That's exactly what you're describing. Only it happens not verbally.
Yeah.
She makes her position known. I adapt, and we reach an agreement, and it happens and moves forward.
It's a one-way negotiation.
No, not at all, because she doesn't go on the walk with the leash.
Yeah.
More coming up. It's Free Talk
Live. It's consensual.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing, we've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away. At soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only 2 documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free, 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live here at ForkFest 2021. You gotta come down here and check it out. ForkFest is happening from June the 28th through July the 4th. So there will still be people here to hang out with, to celebrate with, to have a great time with, you know, to celebrate surviving the great COVID-19 pandemic of 2020/2021/ is this thing ever going the hell away?
Isn't it over? Nope, we all died.
It's been over as far as I've known since March of 2020.
I haven't been wearing a mask in like at least 8 months.
So we got into the weeds here a bit about whether or not the ability to negotiate is unique among humans. And I want to back up a little bit and really further elaborate on what happens when I try to walk the puppy. Sometimes she agrees and she goes on a walk with me. But she's young. She tires out easily. One walk a day is pretty much all she has in her, from what I can tell. And she will plant herself, and she will not budge. And I can drag her around on that leash all I want. She's not going to budge. Of course, I don't do that, because I respect her existence as a human being, as an animal.
Uh-oh.
I have no objection to having said that.
Are we going into the whole rights category for animals now?
Well, I've always been an animal rights advocate. I think the...
Well, she clearly thinks that her dog is a human being, at least on some level.
Well, I don't think that, but I would certainly argue that treating any non-human animal as though they're inferior simply because they're not part of the same species is the same sort of arguments that white supremacists and bigots have used for centuries. The only difference is...
Yes, they call humans animals. That's exactly what they do. They remove you from the category of philosophical agency by calling you an animal.
But we are animals.
We are humans.
We are scientifically, provably apes.
Yeah, we are animals, but not beasts. So
we invented the term beast as a way to include animals.
To non-human animals,
yeah.
In a single syllable.
Yeah, that's discriminatory. It's bigotry. It's like saying we
discriminate between humans and other animals.
Yeah, I don't. That's all I'm saying.
That's insane.
I find discrimination to be immoral, so I don't do it.
That's insane. Well, okay, if a tiger shows up, you can't talk it away.
It's okay. So here's the issue. We all discriminate. We discriminate which foods we want to eat. I don't think discrimination in and of itself is a problem. It's
not to a non-living thing. Certainly.
Yeah. So I would change the way you phrase that just a little bit.
Well, I'm certainly not going to go up to the bear and assume I'm not going to discriminate against you, bear. I know your kind has a reputation for ripping my head off. No, I'm not. There is a certain level where discrimination should be applied.
Okay, good. I'm glad we're on the same page as far as that goes.
Yes.
But at the same time, okay.
Discrimination is inherent to human survival.
I know that you eat meat.
I do eat meat.
And if you don't discriminate between animals and between humans and beasts, then I am very upset at the fact that you eat meat.
Oh, boy. Are we really going into cannibalism
territory? No, not at all. Because, look, eating beast meat, however you would like to characterize it, is the...
Your non-cannibalism is
thing
discriminatory.
Of the day. There are plenty of cultures and societies that have engaged in cannibalism.
I'm against it.
Our society simply doesn't.
We're there.
We've
gone over
that.
The line, guys.
I feel safer in society.
We've crossed that line.
I have no objection. I have no desire to eat humans. I'm never going
to
eat a human. But it's not because I personally have any moral qualm against
you
it.
You are discriminating.
Well, I'm following the norms of my society
it's
in this
really
matter.
It's a really good idea.
I mean, don't disagree.
It is good for your health.
I don't disagree, but if you were born in a culture where cannibalism was...
Can we agree
that
it's okay?
If you were born in a culture where cannibalism was the norm, you wouldn't morally object to cannibalism. It would just be the norm for you.
It actually depends.
Well, thinking of yourself to be this person who's going to break outside the norms of their society while standing there and saying that you refuse to recognize that non-human animals should be treated as equal to animals because you openly discriminate against them is a little bit inaccurate.
Well, I've broken plenty of the norms of the morality of my current society. My current society considers the core of morality to be government, so I've broken a few of them based on the information that I've gotten. So there's definitely a good chance that if I was born in a cannibalistic society that I would, do some reading and go, oh, this is maybe not good, guys.
A lot of cannibalistic societies that existed in the past, I don't think there are any active cannibal societies today, didn't really have, literature.
I think there are a few protected tribes that still engage in it.
At any rate, you wouldn't have access to a library if you were a member of one of these cannibal tribes.
Yeah, probably
so
not.
So there wouldn't be a book for you to read. I mean, you're sort of assuming that you will have some way of escaping the societal confines of the
culture you're in. Well, when you are cut off from all information, you are not great at determining what is and is not a functional moral system.
All right, can we at least agree that if somebody voluntarily cuts off their leg and gives it to you to eat, that level of cannibalism is okay under libertarian principles?
Yes, and also gross.
Even if it's disgusting.
Yeah.
Yep. Yay! Yeah. We agreed on something.
Yeah. Morally acceptable. Morally
I am
acceptable,
not going on the record as agreeing or disagreeing with that.
That's probably a good smart move. On record. It's your leg. You can do what you want with it. It's morally acceptable. I find it aesthetically disgusting.
Oh, yeah.
It is aesthetically terrible.
Oh, my gosh.
It is so aesthetically terrible, I almost upset the FCC in describing this, but... But it is morally, it's okay.
I can't imagine doing it. This is not something I would want to do myself. I can't even imagine somebody wanting to eat flesh, but there's actually stories we've covered on Free Talk Live before.
Why are we talking about it now?
I don't know.
I'm saying that this is a good form of discrimination. It is good to discriminate between human flesh and not human flesh.
Well, I wouldn't kill any animal in order to eat it. I let other people do that dirty work for me. But I recognize...
And you want them to discriminate because if they give you long pork instead of regular pork,
you've got to let me get a sentence in. I recognize that eating non-human animals is immoral, even as I do it. That doesn't make me a hypocrite. It just makes me immoral.
I would agree with you on this one.
I know that it's wrong that I'm eating this pig that had a life.
And this is the thing. Like,
I just don't
care. Nobody is perfect. Here's the thing. I would say I do care. I care. I just don't care enough to where
Fair
I'm going to stop eating food
yeah.
or meat. I should say more specifically. But, like, I don't want to, like, call... Like, if I'm going to eat meat, I would really like to think that the meat that I'm eating is not... The animal, when they were killed, did not suffer in the process, or it was at least minimized, right? Like, so
every time you breathe in air, you get bacteria in your lungs, and your lungs have a special part of the alveoli that kills it.
Yeah, but
you're not murdering organisms left and right all day in order to breathe.
And this is why it's all about minimization.
Life feeds on life, though, which is why moral systems are fabricated by humanity. The very existence of a person's life or any organism's life requires them to feed on other life.
Right, yes. But it does not require you to feed on human life.
It doesn't require you to feed on animal life either.
It doesn't, but it's all about minimization of harm, right? I mean, that's what it comes down to. We don't want to harm each other. We don't want to harm others, but we will do so unintentionally, whether we like it or not, even if we don't eat meat, right?
Sure.
I mean, you step on ants and you step on other living creatures all the time.
I just killed a spider.
Yeah.
I apologize to it, but yeah, I feel bad for it.
I don't like spiders, and I don't like them on me, and I'll kill it too, but it's like... It's not like if the spider didn't come on me, I'm not going to go out of my way to kill it, right?
Yeah.
In order to breathe, you have to kill animal bacteria.
Right. Life feeds on life.
Right.
Why are you assigning why are you assigning any sort of morality to that?
So killing bacteria, necessary. Killing humans, unnecessary.
Killing pigs, unnecessary. Killing cows, unnecessary. Killing chickens, unnecessary.
Debatable.
No, not at all. Plenty of people subsist on vegan lifestyles right now.
Yeah, I mean...
It's not necessary to kill and eat meat. It's a choice that you're making.
There is, I think, to a large degree, ways that they survive, though, with, like, pills and, you know, other things to supplement, you know, the fact that they don't eat meat. I mean, we are a creature of... You know, eating.
I mean, flesh. We are.
We have forward-facing eyes and canine teeth for a reason. Now, it shouldn't be our entire diet, obviously, or else we.
Well, it doesn't have to be any part of your diet.
It really does in my case.
No, you could eat plenty of peanuts and beans to get your protein.
Yeah,
I have attempted to not eat meat, and my system starts to break down.
Well, it takes time to adapt to it for sure.
Yeah.
But I've never heard of anyone dying because they went vegan, certainly. Maybe a cat, but cats, you know, if you make your cat to go vegan, you're an evil and moral person in the first place who shouldn't have a cat. But I've never heard of anyone dying because they took on a vegan diet.
So I think the idea that animal life
sounds
is superior
to... It made my life uncomfortable, and I didn't want to continue it, I found it easier just to keep killing
and
eating animals.
Well, you're an animal supremacist. You're saying that animal life is more valuable and important than plant life.
No, I'm saying is... Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's animal supremacy.
Is that a bad thing?
I'm an admitted human supremacist. Go team human.
I'm saying go team earthling.
Okay, what about the plants? Those poor carrots
life
feel
feeds on life. Someone has to die.
Right. So
but it doesn't have to be a creature that can feel pain.
Plants feel pain.
Well, that's debatable.
No, it's really not. Okay,
debatable.
Look up the Baxter effect.
And look up the plenty of scientific studies that dispute it. Yeah. It is not scientific fact that
definitely
still
not
pain.
Settled.
we don't know because we don't even know if what they would register as pain is something that we would recognize as being pain. Just like we wouldn't know if we actually discovered something.
Okay, so maybe nothing feels pain.
Well, we know we feel pain because, you know, we're people and
we have these
pain.
Yeah, well, the idea of plants not feeling pain has the same incentives of Philip Morris saying that cigarettes don't cause cancer.
Well, except there's studies that prove that cigarettes do, in fact, cause cancer.
And there's studies that prove that plants
don't
pain.
Thanks for listening. It's Free Talk Live.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. Things are falling apart, it seems, every day. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, especially food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take a moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. With over a dozen years' experience, My Patriot Supply has earned over 40,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious, calorie-rich food averages 2,000 calories per day and lasts in storage up to 25 years, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for something bad to happen again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy.
Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.